Welcome to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. This is where you're going to discover how to bring awakening into the body and into everyday life through powerful tantric teachings. Get ready to release, open and step into your true power. How can I embrace my anger? How can I embrace my addict? How can I embrace my wounded child, my victim, all of these parts? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to love these parts? This took me a while, and I've been in the realm of shadow work since I was 22. I actually did my thesis on the unconscious and studied, anyone's heard of Jung, who's the founder of the term shadow and speaks a lot about the unconscious, collective and personal. And even though I'd read heaps about it, wrote my thesis about it, you know, did a lot of work around it and came up with the answers that you guys are coming up with, it wasn't until I could actually be grateful for what my shadows were there providing me with that I could truly feel at an embodied level the embrace that I'm talking about. So what if your shadows, these aspects of your unconscious, are there to protect you from something, and they're actually doing a really good job? So what if the shadow of not expressing and not feeling worthy is protecting a little boy or little girl who, when they spoke up, got hit? What if the shadow of over exaggerating boundaries and having a lot of distrust, which is that guardian I was talking about in me, is there to protect my little girl from being harmed by a man? Because actually the only point of resolution that genuinely shifts my being when I'm in a state like the one I described to you that I was in last night, from absolutely destroying myself for being mean to this beautiful man who loves me so perfectly, is to actually go, okay, so once I'm crying in his arms and realizing and apologizing, then what I've learned to do from a lot of the practices that I've done, the Feed the Demons process, which I'm going to take you through, is that I've learned that actually all of these shadows are needing a level of acknowledgement, because what they want more than anything is to protect me, and they have some kind of positive intention. So stay with me, because this is advanced, because you're such an advanced group. So then what I need to do is go to that guardian who I used to hate, and I say to that guardian, thank you for protecting me. Actually, I don't need you right now. He's a good man. And then that guardian steps down because his presence is there. There's no way that I can keep a story that he's doing something to me, because all he's doing is holding loving presence. And then I say to that guardian, can I please see the little girl now that you're protecting? And then I see her, and there's a different little girl who's holding the same energy depending on what's happening. And then I can meet her inside of me, and I'm like, what do you need? And she's like, I need to know that I'm safe. And literally the moment I did that little chat last night in my head, he said to me, you're safe. That's how much the outer reflects the inner. Is that you're safe, babe? I love you. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's okay. I understand. I know how difficult that is for you. And he's crying with me because he can feel my pain. So you can talk about integrating shadows till the cows come home, right? And meeting them and embracing them. But actually, until you dedicate yourself to meeting them, to dialoguing with them, to getting to know them, you're not going to feel the power that they hold when they're given permission to be here. And sometimes I may not know what the hell is going on. Something is up, and, you know, an emotion can be a shadow, right? You can have an emotion that's unconscious, of course. And that's what we've been working with, rather than more of the archetypes we're talking about today. The last few days we've been looking at emotions. And so sometimes what I'll do if I'm, you know, sometimes you're just feeling a bit off, or like, you know, Matisse might have done nothing, or my kids, and they walk into the room and they're just, I can feel bothered by it. Like, shit, what's going on here? So, no, take a deep breath and sit with it. And the first step is to shine the light of awareness onto that shadow, right? So just think of your shadow, light of awareness, and then the shadow's there. You can see it. And the way to do that is first to breathe and then to go, what am I feeling? Okay, obviously there's discomfort. And then if you can get clear around what the emotion is that is connected to that discomfort, beyond a mental concept, for me it's usually anger. I have a lot of still unconscious rage because I've repressed rage all of my life. And I'm like, oh, okay, that old chestnut again. What are you angry about? Pray tell. Because I don't know, so I just breathe into it. I start giving it some sound. Oh, and I'm just angry that I'm not free sometimes if my kids are triggering me, right? Or maybe I'm angry that I have to work, or I'm angry that something completely unreasonable. Matisse is having fun and I've got a session in an hour, right? But you've got to be willing to feel your unreasonable anger. You've got to be willing to feel your unreasonable grief. You've got to be willing to feel your unreasonable everything. And then you check it out. And often those shadows, we're going to take you through a more complicated process, which is Feed the Demons, and it's in your manual. But I'm going to give you now something that's not in the manual that I've come up with, which is a quicker process of meeting shadows that you can do anytime, which is this process. So the commitment is to coming inward, to not just letting the discomfort pass you by. And it's breathing. Remember, the breath is the anchor. Then it's identifying what the emotion is. And then you dialogue with that emotion with your witness. So yes, you're feeling it, you're aware of it, you're not drowning in it. You can actually give it a shape, give it a color, personify it. So often my anger is a ball with lots of spikes, and it's usually red or black, and then there's varying degrees of it depending how pissed I am. And then I'm like, okay, hey. And then I'm like, I'm making sure, you know, like, what's your name? And then it gets confirmed to me. I'm anger, or sometimes it has another name, right? And I'm like, what are you here for? What's up? And what's your intention? I want to remind you to rest today. I want to remind you to make sure you do something for you today. I want to remind you not to just fucking look after your kids, work, do this, do that, whatever it is. So then we're chatting and I ask it anything else I want to ask it. And then the key question for me, because my biggest overall shadow is protection and guarding myself. And then I say, and who are you protecting? And then I ask to see that. So I haven't reached the point of full trauma or full trigger. And this is really an amazing place to practice inner work from, is not waiting until it escalates, is pausing when you feel a little something, because it is so hard to pause when you feel a big something. So the first pause is in your daily practice, your morning practice. I'm going to pause. I'm not going to check my phone. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to come in, right? And the first thing I always do, which Aaron taught me from being with him for years and him always waking up and being grateful for the day and grateful for me, is gratitude, because I felt how beautiful that is. So I always give gratitude. And then I always just check out what's happening inside, you know, just feel whatever's here, and then usually we make love. And so whatever your practice is, to remember who you are, and it can be anything. If you have, my practice for years was releasing adrenaline for like half an hour and then going into parasympathetic. And if you have never done express and release a lot and primal therapy and really experiencing the full aliveness of your being, I strongly suggest you simplify. And every morning you do 10 minutes of adrenaline release and 10 minutes of parasympathetic. I have changed people's lives with that practice alone, the clients that I work with. You won't fucking know yourself after 30 days. Now, I had so much rage in my body that I was saying no and punching pillows, I kid you not, every single morning for 2 years. And sometimes I was like, is this ever going to end? And I had so much judgment on what an angry bitch I was. And then it got less and less because I kept hearing, don't judge, don't. But it wasn't until I started practicing what I'm telling you now and this important piece I'm about to share with you of who are you protecting. And then there's this little girl who has been so intruded on, who doesn't know when the next attack is coming, and she's just scared. She's completely scared. And I go over to her and I hold her and I reparent her and I attune to her. And instead of doing what my dad did, bless him, and getting her to tap away her pain or meditate it away or transcend it or think positive, that all has its place, but it doesn't make you feel safe in your body. It's not the embodiment piece. I was still anxious all the time, even though I've been meditating since I was 4 and doing positive thinking. What does that little girl need? She needs the presence of Father that's like, you can feel whatever you want to feel, and the nurturing attunement of the mother, which my transmission of that is Tara. I always like call Tara in and feel her beautiful, elegant, unassuming, compassionate, unconditionally loving energy and devotion. And I hold her with that, and I hold her with Tisa's energy, and then I can start getting more strength, and then I just hold her. And I talk to her and I ask her what's up, what she needs, what she's scared of. And I don't try to fix her. I'm just there with her, letting her be her. And then I go and thank my anger and say thank you for showing me her. And then I come out of my process and I'm not angry at the kids or Matisse anymore. And then I just say to him, can you take me on a picnic soon? And then he does, because when I ask the little girl what she wants to go on a picnic. And then 2 days later, he's taken me to the most beautiful spot with a waterfall and carrying this big picnic basket through bushes, and my princess is like, ah. And this guy's got this big bus. I'm like, I probably shouldn't be complaining, seeing as you're carrying that. He's like, yeah, probably, babe. So I'm really good at requesting what I need. Both of these men will tell you that. And the reason I'm good at it is because I'm tuning into that little girl and she's telling me, and I honor her, and I tell her that she's worthy. So this process does 3 things. First of all, it connects you to the younger you that is often being protected by the shadows that are guardians, right? And it's always hard for me to access sadness and vulnerability. So I've always got to go through my anger. For people who experience more sadness, you'll be seeing that sadness. And rather than saying, what are you protecting? It might be, well, often sometimes when we're in sadness, right, we're withdrawing. So you might be meeting the part of you that's withdrawing or meeting that sadness. And it's like, can I see the younger me that's behind this? And it could either that you're protecting, that you're not fully feeling, right? As you get good at dialoguing, and private work with me will get you very good at dialoguing if you feel called deeper into Gestalt. It was my first training. There is this incredible thing that happens where as we get to know these parts of us, what we do is we approach the usually denied parts of us, and this is the second key, with curiosity instead of resistance. If you can approach yourself and the different aspects of you with curiosity instead of resistance, you are a queen and a king instead of a prince who's trying to prove himself or a princess waiting for someone to rescue her. So everyone take a deep breath. And the third part of this is that you reparent the child within you that desperately needs reparenting. And you can actually forgive your parents who didn't do a good job. Realize that if they haven't parented you the way that you needed them to parent you by now, they're probably not going to, just as an FYI. We get so enraged at, like, the ways they're still not parenting us, but that's because there's still an empty part of us that is needing that, right? Once we start to meet that need, we can go, okay, so even though that biologically they're my parents, I'm parenting myself now, and a real maturing happens when you can interact with your parents more like as a friend, but there's a special connection because you're grateful that they brought you into the world, and you're also really grateful for everything that they have done for you and all the ways they have looked after you. And maybe they've done a terrible job, maybe they've just done an okay job. Usually there's at least one thing from one of your parents that you can go, okay, not bad. Okay, so take a deep breath. Before we go into the bigger process, I want you to just close your eyes and feel the simple potency of this practice I just described. So close down your eyes. And just feel your roots going into the earth. Check out how the vibration of your breath connects you to your body. Remember that feeling safe before you, as you go in, is really important. I like to open my crown and just let divine love and light pour through me, healing my mind and body and life of all the places that really want to externalize my experience. And I choose in that moment to be the tantrika that I am and take my attention away from the external and into the internal cave of my heart, and just breathe into that heart and bring your hands to your heart and just feel this intention to become more intimate with a part of yourself that you've denied. Maybe it's your anger. Maybe it's a more archetypal energy, like a wounded child or a victim, no worth. Maybe it's sadness, like what do you deny in yourself? What, right now, what are you denying that you feel about something? And just see if you can identify that. A little buzz in the body. That may usually be hidden, but bring the light of awareness into your body. Maybe it's seen. It could be in relation to a situation or circumstance. And then go ahead and as you touch your heart, feel that intention to become more intimate with whatever that is. Truly more intimate, to get to know it, to love it. And breathe into the body and put your hand where you feel that part the most. And I just slowly feel this. And just breathe deeply into that part and just give it a slight sound on the exhalation. And just say hello to it. Say hello to it. Hello, old friend. And if it was an object that had a weight and a shape, what would that look like? Maybe it's an animal and not an object. Some interesting figure. Sometimes I just see this roaring lion that wants to kill everything in the jungle. What do you see? Trust what you see. See what there is to see. Feel what there is to feel. And just notice what it feels like in the body to meet that part. How does your body respond as you meet that part? Just notice. Keep breathing. What's your name? Ask, what's your name? Why are you here? What's your intention? Let's give that part some respect, some love. Get to know it. Ask it anything else you want to ask it. Maybe it's been there for a really long time. Now just ask, can you show me the smaller part of me that you might be protecting? Can you show me what's behind you? See that part. Let out some sound. And can you meet that part with love? Can you let that little one know that you're there for her, for him? Ask, what do you need? And this is a great place to find your boundaries, because often that little one needs something to stop. You do this enough times when you're in an abusive relationship, it'll get you out. Or in a relationship where there's no joy, because she'll be like, or he'll be like, this sucks. What do you need? How are you feeling? Give her some attunement. Hold her, him. Spend some time with that little one. Bring your hands to your body, bring some movement through your body. Feel what there is to feel as you connect with this little one. For you, I'm here to give you what you need. And then go back to that emotion that you were denying. Let the little boy or little girl know that you'll be back. Come back to see him or her. To connect. And there doesn't need to be, you don't need to fix that little boy or little girl. It's a process of acknowledgement, of seeing him or her, of holding him or her, saying that you're going to be there for her, creating that safety, and then going back to that anger, the grief, the archetypal wound, and saying, thank you for protecting him. Thank you for protecting her. And you make friends with that part of you. And maybe you want to say to that part the boundary that you're going to set now. Maybe you're going to say, hey, you can hold back. I'm going to communicate this or that, communicate what I need. Thank you for helping me to realize, because your emotions are messengers. What is unconscious, once it's realized, is a message to your conscious mind of your boundaries, of your needs, of your desires, of your alignment. So breathing deeply into the body. Anything that's here, just let yourself feel that. And ask yourself right now, what would it be like to meet uncomfortability with curiosity instead of resistance? How different would your life be? How much more powerful do you think you might be? That actually Your uncomfortability is an opportunity to get to know yourself better, to become more authentic, to speak truth, to leave the relationship you need to leave, the job you need to leave, leave the house, to go on the holiday you need to go to play when you need to play, to cancel things. I tell you what, the little one in you does not like being busy. I've taken lots of clients through this process, and none of those little children like it when there's not enough time to rest and play and feel loved. They also don't like feeling attacked. They don't like feeling unsafe. They don't like too much seriousness and mind. And then these other parts come in, your sadness, your anger, your rage, your frustration, to say, hey, hey, I'm up and I'm protecting this smaller part that you can't see. And I'm an avenue to your seeing. Can you stop denying me, please? I'm just as beautiful as joy. I'm just as beautiful as ecstasy. I'm just as beautiful as gratitude. If you would just take the time to feel the beauty of my darkness. Because in my darkness is a mystery unfolding, a discovery of what's true, and maybe a little one that's still really, really young that hasn't even grown up yet because she's been denied or he's been denied for such a long time. So while you're busy growing up and being an adult with all of these responsibilities and doing, and I'm just here waiting to be alive, waiting to find my uniqueness when I'm not covered over by conditioning that tells me that being a responsible adult is doing a lot and buying a lot and achieving what the little girl or little boy teaches you, that being responsible is having the ability to respond to actually that smaller part that is your greatest guru, that is your greatest teacher. And they don't want you to bypass, spiritually bypass into the light or get over it or smoke away, drink away, Netflix away, busy away, mind away, gratitude away, positive think away. What is real, what is here, and what is an inherent part of our beautiful humanity. And then once you actually grow up in the real way by having the ability to respond, responsibility, ability to respond to that child, then you can actually do the real work of waking up because you've finally grown up instead of trying to be a grown up. Everyone take a deep breath. Let out some sound. And I want to share a little something that is going to hopefully inspire you to commit to this practice and also land it even more. When I was making a transition from not honoring the little one inside to honoring the little one inside, it was definitely appearing that I was becoming less of an adult. I bought my first house at 22. I had my first child at 25. I was definitely an adult very early on. I never did the getting pissed partying. One of my coping mechanisms was to bury myself in books, which you guys are all receiving the fruits of, right? And understanding psychology and trying to make sense of all of these experiences and, yeah, personal development mindset. And there was a lot of conditioning, societal, and from my family, as I said, on, yeah, buying property, doing the right thing, all the shoulds. So the experience I was having was actually becoming more me and growing up and listening to my little girl. But what it looked like, especially to my mum, who was outraged at me selling my house at a ridiculous time. You know, I just sold it to get freedom. I lost about 600 grand. It's like all the other houses, all the money I'd made went into this house and I sold it. Well, I didn't sell it. The person I bought it with bought me out at a ridiculous amount. It was the amount he had in the bank, and the property had just gone in Perth. But I didn't really give a fuck, because everything in me needed to get out of that house. Everything in me needed to free myself of mortgages. Everything, even if I got 100 grand and I just needed a year of dedicating as much time as I could to traveling and immersing myself in Tantra, once I discovered that that was the missing piece for me. And yeah, as most of you know, it was cervical cancer that really got me into that space of listening to my feminine. And listening to my feminine meant listening to the little one inside, and it's been an ongoing journey. So as the process has been unfolding of giving her a chance to grow up, and she's still quite young, but she's getting much bigger, right? She's getting much older. My masculine is like ancient. And when I first found her, I'm like, how can I ever be in this energy? She was pre-sexual, because as soon as the abuse happened, I went into denying my feminine. And it had really stark consequences and symptoms. And it does. It's like the physical body will represent and manifest what's happening at an emotional and energetic level. And if you meet my family, it's like I come from an Italian voluptuous family. It's like all the women in my family have these huge breasts. And I just say, I don't want to look like a woman. I dress like a tomboy. I had all male friends in law school. I was one of the boys. I would just talk about shit that boys talked about. I could meet them intellectually. My first two businesses, I was running with men. And then, yeah, I'm working with this little girl a lot. And it wasn't until I was with Matisse, who actually was the first partner I've ever had that had no vested interest in me teaching, and who wasn't teaching with me, and who said, you need to stop. And like with so much love in his heart, like, you need to look after that little girl. And even though I was already always looking after her, everyone in my life was having big benefits of me being busy, every single person, because I'm the type of person that as soon as you're my friend, as soon as you're my partner, I give my everything. I give you my love, I give you my business, that's who I am. So all of my friends are part of my business. He didn't give a fuck. And I'm like, well, what if there's no money? He's like, what if? Money's not going to bring you happiness. What if the people I'm trying to say, you know, like, people need me, but you need you? And just kept reflecting to me. And then I just stepped completely back from the business. And in that time, I was tuning into her. And then I had the most beautiful conversation with Tara. And after tuning into her a lot, one of the things that was really triggering me was there's a lot of plagiarism of my work with no acknowledgement. And a lot of my practices are completely unique because they come from my own processes. So I read posts from people who have been in my field and they're saying what I've said verbatim and they're not acknowledging me. But actually, when I went to that part of me that was enraged and did this practice that I've taught you, the little girl that was behind that, and I had no memory of this, I remembered that my work used to always get copied when I was little. And my friends used to always copy my work. And I didn't think I minded. And I had this memory of saying to Dad, everyone's copying my work. And him saying, well, don't worry, darling. What would love do? And I'm like, fuck this. And then When I said to the little girl, what do you need? What she said was, I need mum, who was Tara, to put the practitioner training out there so that I actually get acknowledgement for all the practices and practitioners are teaching them under me instead of just doing it. And then I had all this shame. Oh, why do I need this acknowledgement? And then I remembered all the times in my life that I've generously given my work to people to teach and had to just process all of that and say, actually, it's okay to want acknowledgement. And when the miracle of what you don't know becomes known, you start to create things that can only be created from the innocence of who you are beyond your conditioning. Because the little girl and little boy who's in there, that's not a grown up yet, has been neglected and hasn't been loved in the way that he or she needs to be loved. So when you give him or her that and they grow up, that's when the awakening happens.
Thanks for listening to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. For more great free resources, in-person and online workshops and our retreats, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Embodied Awakening Academy or visit embodiedawakeningacademy.com.